lonely and sorry. Christopher Columbus and a companion were sitting at the meal. "Actually, your going to America was not anything special," said the gentleman. "You didn't plan to go there. It was an accident. Anybody could have done it, but you just happened to be the first." Columbus then put an egg on the table and said, "Make this egg stand on its end." The man tried and tried, but he could not balance the egg. Finally, he gave up in desperation. Columbus then took the egg and kept the big end until it became flat. Then he stood the egg on his end. "Well," the man said, "you didn't say I could break the egg." "It takes a little intelligence," answered Columbus. After telling the story, Roma then tilted the picture so that it was resting on the wall in the opposite way from that of the conventional picture. In this way, he was able to split the picture between the Almira and the Slanting Roof. Jai Shakumadhi.
Jai.
The point we can understand from all three episodes is very simple. That the Mahajans, or the great Acharyas, these great exalted pure devotees, whatever statements they make, whatever actions they perform, are never proven wrong. They are always proven right. Why? Because Krishna is 100% behind them. The same question was asked in the second canto, 6th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam by Narada Muni to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji said this point, Nabharati me anga vrishopa lakshate. This verse is very nice. He said that the reason why whatever statements I make are never proven false. The reason for that is because all the time I am tightly holding on to the lotus feet of Hari, Drita Hari. So actually, Bhagavatam tells us that the reason why we should follow in the footsteps of Mahajans is because they are 110% following the footsteps of Krishna. So it makes common sense that if you follow one who is following the Supreme, then we will also, by the mercy of that devotee, be able to arrive at the lotus feet of the Supreme. That is why it's very important for devotees to be humble and to be submissive to the orders of the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada ki. So we'll just sing here Radha Madhava. Can everyone hear me? Because my voice is going on. Everyone can hear that.
Jai Radha Madhava.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In the Brahma Samhita 5.38, it is stated, Primarjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Only a person whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love can see the beautiful form of Sri Krishna. Jai Shakrupa Translator Bhagavati. So before we say something on this verse, we seek the blessings of Shakrupa, our spiritual master, and all acharyas and all devotees present, so that we will not say anything wrong or offensive in the course of our discussion. Om Ajnana Tipilandasya Jnananjana Shatavakaya Chakshur Nilita Pandena Tasmai Shri Yure Namaha Jivaranya Proteshtam Kaapitam Yeta Bhutanare Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadagani Swapanatikam Vande Ram Shri Roti Vajamana Lakshmi Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupa Saptajatam Tasadana Many men across the world and across the ages, many personalities have claimed supremacy. They have claimed to be God. They have claimed to be Krishna. But please, the next time you hear someone claiming to be God, please ask them to first show their Virat Roop to us. And after showing that, please ask them to change into their four handed forms. And then after that, you can tell them to please go back to the original form and see if they can fulfill this qualification. If they cannot, they cannot be declared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this point also we should remember in our hearts. Why the four handed form then? Prabhupada states in the Bhagavad that Krishna did the same thing actually to Vasudeva and Devaki. And he did that also for a specific reason. Because if Krishna had just appeared as a child, today those who do not believe in Krishna would say, what was so astonishing about him? But Krishna first showed himself in four-handed form. And by showing himself as four-handed form, he established once and for all in Srimad Bhagavatam that he was not an ordinary person. And then, more confidentially, he showed himself in his beloved form of Shamsundar as a baby boy. So this is very significant for us. Vasudeva and Devaki did not really, they were not really interested in seeing the four-handed form of the Lord. Because they were devotees of the Lord, they were more interested in actually seeing him in his two-handed form. The same is true of Arjuna here also. Arjuna actually was not really interested in seeing Krishna in four-handed form. But really his interest and his specification began when he saw Krishna in the form that he could love and render worship. Why? Because in the four-handed form of Krishna, as Lord Narayana, the mood of a devotee who is worshipping the Lord, Bhagavatam tells us, will be in the mood of awe and reverence. And when one is in the mood of awe and reverence, then it is very difficult to form a wonderful association with the Lord. I remember one time in one lecture, His Great Pasadi Prabhu brought up this very important point. It was in the second canto of Bhagavatam. And Prabhu said, the reason why the devotees don't worship or they are not interested in the Virat Roop of Lord Krishna is very simple. You can't take association with such a form. It is a subtle but very important point. The whole aim of devotional service is to take association lovingly with the Lord and His devotees. In the four-handed form of the Lord, Narayana, the devotees who are very exalted, who want to really, really serve Krishna very lovingly, they will find that it is difficult. Because the devotees want to serve Krishna either in form of friend, in form of parental affection, in form of conjugal love. These ras are considered more complete in the form of devotional service. So this is an important point to bear in mind. Because otherwise the detractors of the Supreme Personality of Godhead always say, well, what's so great about Krishna? He's a baby boy, he played with the cows, he played with the girls, what is there? But for those who speak like that, let them try to carry golden hill with the tip of their finger for 7 days, maybe even 7 minutes, never mind 7 seconds, and see whether they can do it. So this point we have to remember. The main interest of Arjuna lay in rendering worship and devotion to Krishna. And he knew who Krishna was. He knew that Krishna was his dear friend. And he accepted the Lord as his all and all. For Arjuna, there was no one else and nobody else except Krishna. This is the mood of a devotee. And because of that, we find here that Krishna appeared in whatever form that Arjuna wanted him to. In that way, we must remember one important verse that is found in Bhagavatam. It is in the 3rd canto, 9th chapter, I think the verse is the 11th verse. In that verse, very nicely, Brahmaji is praying for the prayers for creating energy. And at that point of time, he chants, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hitsaroja Asheshu Dikshita Pato Narunata Hosam Yad Diyata Urugaya Vibhavayanti Tat Tat Bahu Pranayasi Tat Anugrahaya. This is a verse we should remember. Because in this verse, Brahmaji is saying, O Lord, the devotees who are Twam Bhakti Yoga, who are 100% engaged in your devotional service, they can see you. They can see you by hearing about you. How wonderful this point is. That we can actually see Krishna by just hearing about him. Just by hearing about him, Krishna manifests himself in his eternally beautiful form of Saumya Vapuhu, Shyam Sundara, in the heart of the devotee. The process begins with hearing. What was Arjuna doing for the last 49 verses and the last 10 chapters? He was hearing. This point we must never forget. What were most of us doing from 3 to 6 today? We were hearing Bhagavad Gita. What are we doing now? We are hearing Bhagavad Gita. What will we do after this? Tomorrow morning for Bhagavatam, we will hear Bhagavatam. By hearing, and by hearing with loving devotion and with submission the way Arjuna did, Bhagavatam guarantees us that we can see this wonderful form of God. But Krishna goes further than that. In the last two lines, he says, Brahmaji says, not only are you so merciful to the devotees that they can just by hearing they can see you, but equally, whatever eternal form the devotee has enshrined in their hearts in worshipping you, you readily come before them in that eternal form. Krishna is so kind. Murari Gupta in Chaitanya Charitamrita was a great, great devotee of Lord Ram, because actually he was not different from Hanumanji. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pushing him and pressurizing him, what are you doing? You should worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Murari Gupta felt bad. He said, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Lord Ram is in my heart. How can I take him out? So like that, for one whole night he was thinking and thinking, but I cannot disobey the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. I cannot leave Lord Ram also. So what to do? In the morning he concluded, the only thing I must do now is take my life. Because I can't obey Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I cannot give up Lord Ram. What am I going to do? In that morning he saw, Murari Gupta came and saw, took darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What did Mahaprabhu do? Immediately he embraced Murari Gupta very tightly and he said, I am very pleased with you today. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord. So he knew exactly what was in the heart of Murari Gupta. He said that I was testing you. I was just pushing you to worship me, the Lord in the form of Krishna. But really I said you are true devotee of Lord Ram. And Lord Ram is enshrined in your heart. You please continue to worship him. So this way, Bhagavatam gives us this point that whatever eternal form the devotee wants to see the Lord, as Narsingadev, yesterday we all took darshan of Narsingadev. Why? Was it accident that we were in Gujarati society to take darshan of Narsingadev? No. Because we were somehow hearing about Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that hearing allowed us to take darshan yesterday. This point we must not forget. Sometimes you think, no, the reason for me to take darshan of Lord Narsingadev was bus service number something, something, something. Was the taxi. Because I took transport and I came here. But the truth is, it was hearing Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita that actually allows us to take darshan of the Lord. So this point we should remember. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that every devotee has a natural inclination towards a certain eternal form of the Lord. And the Lord, because he is so dear to the devotee, and because the devotee is so dear to him, 100% fixed, the Lord literally, right, becomes, and I quote Prabhupada here, he becomes subordinate to the interests of his devotee. Can you imagine? Prabhupada writes that the Lord becomes so pleased with his devotee who is fixed on him, that he becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee. That's why Arjuna wanted to see Viradru. Arjuna, Krishna could have denied and said, what are you wasting your time for? Doesn't matter, you know me, right? Why this exercise? But no, he said, you are my dear friend, therefore I am showing you this form. Then again he showed him the four-handed form. He could have just skipped the four-handed form and gone on to the two-handed form. But no, he knew Arjuna's heart. And finally, he also knew that Arjuna's true wish was to be pacified and to see the Lord as his dearmost form of Shyam Sundara. So this is the wonderful relationship that exists between the Lord and his devotees who are 100% fixed in the devotional service. Prabhupada also cautions the devotees in the purport of 3.9.11 Prabhupada says that Krishna does not manifest the forms of his eternal forms as he wants to and according to what his devotees want, if the devotees are pseudo devotees. And we must avoid being pseudo devotees. Sometimes, you know, Prabhu Sivanandji, we complain. We say, why is it that I cannot see Krishna? Why is it that I'm trying very hard? I remember one devotee told me, Prabhu, I'm very disturbed in devotional service. I asked him why. I'm trying very hard in devotional service, but I cannot see the form of the Lord. So I asked him, why are you disturbed? You can see him in daily form. No, I want to see him as Dhruva Maharaj saw him. Why can I do that? So I asked him, why did you do the things Dhruva Maharaj did? Then you are assured of seeing him. Right? You spend 6 months in the forest, and you each month you take off some diet, you know, and keep taking everything off until you're breathing on air. The point is, we want to do devotional service according to what we want. According to our comfort zones. We say that, excuse me Krishna, now I'll tell you where you fit into my life. You fit between 8 and 10 in the morning. And you fit between 6 and 8 in the evening. Okay? And if I have time, I may offer you something. If I don't have anything, you just go and find something for yourself. And if I have time, I will stretch myself. 4:30 in the morning in this life actually made possible. So doesn't matter, Krishna. You just be merciful because that is your pure characteristic. Be merciful upon me. Sometime, you know, I'll be able to come to that standard. But at this moment, I can't push myself. My health will go. You know, without sleep, I can't concentrate. All these reasons the mind gives us. And then after that, we complain. Prabhu, I can't see the form of the Lord. The real reason is none other than ourselves. Arjuna earned the right to see Krishna. He controlled his senses. He completely became neither averse nor attached to the dualities of this material world. And most importantly, he was regulated in his principles of freedom. And because he was like that, chapter 264 Bhagavad Gita guarantees us prasadam adhikarchati. He could obtain and attract the mercy of the Lord. So the devotees are not just spontaneously. We always say devotee means spontaneous. But spontaneous means that they are regulated in their principles of freedom. That they are always in perfect control of their senses. And that is the reason why they attract the mercy of the Lord. Mercy of the Lord is causeless. Lord can give his mercy anytime. But he is attracted in reciprocation with his devotee's commitment to devotional service. So this is a very practical point we must not forget. So, if we really want to see Krishna, then the way to see him is to hear about him. By hearing him, we will see him in the right way. Otherwise, what happens? We do sightseeing. You know how tourists, we just move from one place to another, we come to each other, we bow, we look, we take prasadam, we leave. That is not the way. Are we going to hear? When we hear about Krishna, then the form of Krishna becomes very pleasing to us. Without hearing, our heart is not purified. And the form of Krishna may be there, but we may not take full advantage of this wonderful principle of devotional service. That is why Prabhupada always emphasizes that Shravanam is a very important principle. Very important principle. But having said that, do not for a moment think that the most beautiful form of Krishna, which is described in this paragraph as Saumya Vapuhu, is not purified in itself. Bhagavad Gita tells us this form of Krishna is so purifying that Prabhupada quoted one story, you know, of this thief. This thief one time, he heard when he was in the Vrindavan area, he heard about this description of Krishna from some Bhagavatam discourse. He was walking by and he heard one Bhagavatam preacher speaking on the description of the Lord's beautiful face, his beautiful body, and of course in between all that he heard how much jewelry Krishna actually had in himself. So he wasn't attracted to the handsomeness of Krishna, but he thought, well, whoever this boy is, he is a walking jewelry shop. Therefore, if I really want to make my business good today, I should just go and see him. I'm in Mathura district, not too far. We should go and see him. And I shall befriend this boy, and after a while I shall steal all his jewelry. So the thief Prabhupada says, actually went to see Krishna. And Krishna was playing with his boys, his cowherd boyfriends. It did not take long to actually for the thief to identify, oh, this is actually Krishna. Because Krishna was the most beautiful and he was the most beautifully adorned. That was what it was in the mind of the thief. So the thief decided, I can't just go up to the boy now and ask him for the jewelry. He's not going to give it to me. So what I'll do is, let me play with him for a while. You know, you play with someone, after a while you win the trust of the child. Then you ask him to do any monkey tricks, he will do it. So he thought, let me do that. So for a whole day, the thief played with them just like any other member of Mathura district. And as he was doing that, he began to experience this wonderful consciousness just of taking darshan of the Lord. By the end of the day, when everyone had got back, the thief alone remained with Krishna. So Krishna asked the thief at that point of time, so, do you want anything from me? Krishna, of course, is in the heart of everyone. He knew what the thief wants. In the same way, Krishna knows exactly what we want from him. He knows. We may couch it, we may hide it, we may advance it in all different ways, but trust me, from the pages of Bhagavatam, Krishna knows us better than we know ourselves. So then he asked the question, do you want something from me? And the thief said, yes. I thought I wanted something, but now I want something else. When I came here, I really wanted to take all the jewelry. Because I looked at the jewelry and thought, this is very nice. But now I realize that all this jewelry is looking very nice because they are actually resting on your beautiful body, your beautiful form. So my Lord, I don't want the jewelry. I just want to be able to take darshan of your wonderful form. And there is none. And that way, just by taking darshan of the Lord's form, this thief, just by spending a few hours with Krishna, he became purified. We don't realize that every time we take darshan of Gaudiya, of all the wonderful deities that we see, we don't realize actually, but Sakti, Bhakti, is already being embedded in our hearts. This is the power of the beautiful form of the Lord. Why do you think the gopis from Vrindavan, they curse Brahmaji? They curse Brahmaji in 10th canto, 31st chapter. And in that verse they say, Adityatmanam Adikananam Srutayukayate Vampapashyatam Kutilakuntalam Srimukham Chate Jadamudeshikam Pakshmakritisham Adityatmanam Adikananam Srutayukayate In this verse, you know, the gopis say that, O Lord Krishna, in the morning we see you just before you go. And at that moment you are very happy. But then you have to go off with the gopas to take care of the cows. And at that point of time we feel separation from you. Then in the evening, after a while, we wait and wait and wait, when will Krishna come back? And then we'll be back. That moment seems like only actually a few hours. But actually, at that moment, it actually seems like one many, many yugas to take right there. But then you come back. And when you come back after the evening, after taking care of the cows and the calves and all, your form is very beautiful. Why is it not beautiful? Because the hoof, the dust from the hoofs of the cows, they adorn your hair, you look ruffled, and yet you look strikingly beautiful. But despite being given a chance to take darshan of you at that point of time, we can only see you for a fraction of a while. Why? Because we look at you, and we have to blink. We look at you, and we have to blink. And this blinking may be a second. It may be a fraction of a second, Bhagavatam says. But for us, the gopis, they say it is like one yuga. When our eyelid closes, that moment in separation from Krishna's beautiful form is like a yuga. And when we open our eyes, we see you, but again we are to blink. So we are very angry with Brahmaji actually. Because he has created these eyelids. And these eyelids are an impediment to seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. Of course, we cannot imitate this point about the gopis. We blink 100,000 million times, but we say, doesn't matter, what is Krishna's form? I can blink and I can still see him. I can blink, I can see him. But this shows us the mood of an exalted devotee. that the form of the Lord in itself is highly glorious, complete, absolute, and wholly glorified. So we should never forget this. The second point that is very important in this verse involves two very important points. One, Krishna took this beautiful form of Saunya Bapu to testify Arjuna. The word that is used here is to encourage the fearful Arjuna. This line is very important. The Lord's primary motive, primary mission in this world is always to encourage the devotees. Because this world without encouragement from Krishna, without shelter of His lotus feet, is a very fearful place to live in. Very fearful. You all know better than I do how every Sunday night we become anxious because Monday morning is either school or work. Before we sleep, we start thinking, tomorrow what do I have to do? Tomorrow I should see my boss. Tomorrow I have school. Tomorrow I have exams. Is something wrong? So this point is very important. That when we are trying very hard to live in this world, we cannot help but become anxious. Anxious. The anxiety and fear in this material world is real for those who are not. It is real. Do you know why? Because Bhagavatam tells us why we fear. Why fear creeps into our hearts? In 396 of Srimad Bhagavatam, this chapter is a very important chapter. Brahmaji states this point. Tavat vayam dravinadeva chubat nimittam sokha sraha paribhava vipulascha lopaha. Then he goes on to say, Tavan mameli asalavagraha adhi mulam yavan nate vimabayam pravanita lokaha. In this verse is the standard verse of Bhagavatam to tell us why we are always in fear. In this verse, Brahmaji says, oh my Lord, every living entity in this material world is constantly being embarrassed. They are embarrassed by all the material anxieties. Our material anxieties are so embarrassing because outwardly sometimes we pose as devotees. But inwardly we have all these fears and anxieties. But we can't show it to the world because then people think, hey, what kind of devotee you are? You are fearful. So we try to project ourselves as being fearless. But the truth is we are embarrassed by this condition of anxiety. And this anxiety is there. Why? They are always afraid, Ramaji says. Why are they always afraid? Why are the human entities afraid? They are always afraid because they always try to protect wealth. They try to protect family. They try to protect friends. They try to protect body. And they try to protect mind. And they try to protect all of these without Krishna in the center. And because they are always trying to protect them, they are always filled with lamentation. Why? Because all that they desire to enjoy through family, friends, wealth, society, always stop short of full enjoyment. You try to enjoy anything in this material world, it is temporary. It will finish. And the moment it finishes, you want to find some other enjoyment. And very often, Bhagavatam tells us, Prahlad Maharaj says in 7.7.42 of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that the living entity is very, very much committed to trying to enjoy this material world. But what he doesn't understand is, the moment his pursuit for happiness begins, that moment his conditions of distress appear. The moment his pursuit of happiness begins, that moment his condition of distress begins. Because the moment you are running after the happiness, the anxiety of running after the happiness makes you completely fearful. What if I don't get this? Supposing somebody sees this girl and we say, ah, this is the girl I want to marry. Now for the whole of your lifetime until you get married to her, you will be in anxiety. Will I get married to her? Will this relationship work? Will it not? And after you get married, you think that's it. I will be in swarga loka. But once you get married, only those who are married know what happens. Maybe 1 year there's some honeymoon. But after a while, the honeymoon has to end. That's my goal. much on this is, you know. When someone, whenever he asks, how's your marriage? If someone says, yes, marriage is nice, Maharaj says, then you're still in honeymoon period. But it has to end eventually. Then after you get married 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, then after a while you sometimes wonder, why did I get married in the first place? And then at the point where you are going to leave this world, then you think, oh, I want my wife, I want my children, I want everything. All the things that you got fed up for 30, 40 years of your life, suddenly again regain precious value at the end of your life. There is no end. All this, the basis of all this, at the end, the result of all this is fear. Fear, fear. And then Brahmaji concludes by saying that they are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires. Unlawful means the desires that are not in line with Krishna's desires, they are unlawful. They will only drag us down. What was Arjuna's desire in Bhagavad Gita in his heart? I don't want to fight. He advanced all the favorable arguments. But what was Krishna's express wish? You fight. But who do you fight for? You fight for me. I'm not interested whether you like to fight or you don't like to fight. Just be interested in fighting for me. And the moment Arjuna changed his consciousness, all anxiety was gone. The moment we change our consciousness, our anxiety and fear also goes. Who are we working for? Who are we living our lives for? Who do we want to please? Krishna. So every time we want to perform an act in this material world which is unlawful, then please remember one thing. It will only bring us anxiety and fear. This point we should remember. Why was Arjuna feeling fearful at that point? He was feeling fearful because he had seen the Virat group of Krishna. The Virat group of Krishna is the manifestation of the Lord's material energy. It is part of the Lord, but it is a form that can be ghastly and fully awesome to the point where people must become reverential to it. But it is not a form where we can take loving association. The loving association comes when one takes the shelter of Krishna's internal energy. And that internal energy is manifested in this world in the form of devotional service. The moment Arjuna feared, the Lord banished the fear by coming in his original form. So we also should take lesson here. Who do we want to take shelter of? If you want to take shelter of Maya, then take shelter of Maya. But be prepared to always live in fear. If you want to take shelter of Krishna, then work hard in devotional service for the Lord. And by working hard for the Lord, stretch yourself, push yourself, study hard. Give one life for Krishna. So many lives we gave to everyone and everything except Krishna. This one life, why don't we just dedicate it to Krishna? What do we lose? Death is coming anyway. Money, Krishna will take care of. Krishna is taking care of animals in the material kingdom. And they are eating, they are prospering better than us. So why we lose the faith in Krishna? Then we have to work and work and over endeavor in this world and forget about our real duty to Krishna. This is why we should do. And this is the reason why fear was vanquished from Arjuna's heart. Because he was devoted to the Lord. And when we are fearful in this world, please remember, fear is only there because of our material attachment to this material energy of the Lord. The moment we become detached from the material energy of the Lord, the moment we drop something which is precious to us, then that becomes our freedom. You remember in canto 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there was the story of the Avadhut who had 24 gurus. One of his gurus was the hawk. The hawk was a bird of prey. And the bird of prey, he said, you know, he's my guru because he taught me the principle of detachment. Very nice. The hawk was flying in the sky searching for prey. Then he saw the prey and he swooped down and picked up the prey. As he was going up, many other hawks started circling this hawk and they started fighting with him for the piece of meat. So the hawk struggled and struggled and struggled. I want to keep the meat. I am the one who worked very hard. I should be entitled to the fruits of my result. I am the one who went down. You people are just, you know, jumping on my bandwagon. You are not entitled to the meat. But it got worse because everyone was fighting, and the hawk was losing strength. In the end, the hawk thought, what am I fighting for? The simplest solution is this. He dropped the meat. It fell right down to the ground. All the other hawks just left him and ran to the meat. And this hawk became free. Hari Bol. Now I'm free. I don't have to worry. Just for a piece of meat, was it worth my anxiety? This is how we should live in this material world. That anything that disturbs us, you please drop it. When we say drop it, doesn't mean tomorrow you resign. I don't want to be discounted on this point tomorrow. Please don't resign tomorrow. The Matajis will come and find me and say, what did you say? Prabhu is telling me now he's going to resign. No. It means you resign from the results of your activities tomorrow. That resignation you must tender. If you tender that resignation, you are free, as Arjuna was free. If you don't tender that resignation, you are going to be in trouble. We are going to be in trouble. So this is the point we must learn. And once we know this point, then only we will understand, as Brahmaji ends in the last line. He says that those persons who try to collect all these things, who try to keep these things, which are material and which are from material energy of the Lord, they cannot obtain your shelter. As long as they don't take shelter of your lotus feet, they will always be in anxiety and fear. This is the truth. So the next time we are disturbed, please don't blame anyone. Please don't blame anything. Blame the lack of our devotional service. That is the only reason. The second important point from this section we must remember is the word encourage. The word encourage is an important word in devotional service. And here, Krishna is encouraging Arjuna. And Krishna is our Supreme Lord and Param Guru. So we must also learn to be encouraging as a devotional, as a devotee. Encouraging to whom? To all living entities. Encourage simply means what? Encourage, root word is courage. Right? When you encourage someone, you give someone courage. When you discourage someone, you take that courage away from that person. And in this material world, the devotee who speaks the devotional service, he becomes fearless. When one is fearless, he is courageous. He is brave in the face of Maya Devi. That is why, when we are faced with reversals in our lives, which will always come to us, we should never lose the courage, Prabhus and Matajis. Never lose the courage. And we will not lose the courage if we take automatic shelter of Krishna's beautiful form, like Arjuna did. That is why fearfulness and encourage are actually linked. One can be eradicated by the other. If you encourage lovingly all devotees to be in devotional service, fear in their hearts will be eradicated. If you discourage devotees in devotional service, if supposing a devotee makes a mistake, and you jump on him like anything, to the point where you discourage him completely, and you don't see the good quality in him, that devotee will become very, very demoralized. But if you see a nice, small quality of that devotee, you pick it up, and you fan that quality with great enthusiasm, that devotee's courage in devotional service will increase. That is why, as devotees in a congregation, it is very important to encourage each other in devotional service. As Arjuna was encouraged by Krishna. We read from the pages of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita how all the great Vaishnavas were always loving in their dealings. Always loving. I remember Sati was very angry with Daksha because she told him that you did not even see one good quality in Lord Shiva. You only found all the bad qualities in him. And because you could not see any good in him, the result of that is going to be destruction for you. And in the end, who suffered? It was Daksha who finally suffered because of his criticisms and his discouragement from conduct towards Lord Shiva. So we should be very careful in our dealings. Encouraging a devotee is very important because that is the best service you can render to a devotee. And we will wear the proper lenses because by encouraging a devotee, you are seeing his good qualities. You will forget being critical. Criticism will never make devotees become fixed in devotional service. Once we criticize someone, remember, we We are digging the pit to drop him into the pit. But when we are digging that pit, we are first in that pit. Before we drag that person in, we are in the pit first. We should never forget that. That is why Guru Maharaj always says this point to me, that before you point your finger at other people and criticize them, look at one finger being pointing there, but don't forget three more fingers are pointing at you. Look to yourself before you criticize others. Arjuna could have been admonished by Krishna at this point to say, why are you fearful? What is this? But he did not do that. He encouraged Arjuna because he was a loving devotee by showing him this beautiful form, and that made Arjuna pick up. This is what we must do. Always remember this common sense point. Supposing you are in difficulty and you lose courage. Already you are in difficulty. Now you lose courage, that becomes your second difficulty. Isn't it? Think about it. That becomes your second difficulty. Why do you lose the courage then? Be encouraged always in devotional service. We are in the right path given by our acharyas. There is no need for us to lament. We should smile, we should be happy in devotional service, and we must promise to dedicate our lives to Krishna. That is why enthusiasm is so important. And that is why this word encouraging is such a turning point in the life of a devotee. So to conclude this very important verse, some points we should remember. First, Krishna's mercy will always manifest in two ways. One, by taking shelter of the Lord will always encourage his devotees. And how does he do that? By eradicating fear in their hearts. This is the mood of Krishna. This is how Krishna does. What is the verse? Uttara sang to Lord Krishna, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Na Anyam Abhayam Pashye Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. This is the mood of a devotee, and this is the reciprocation of the Lord with his devotee. What is the point? He says, Krishna, you are Pahi Pahi. Please, Krishna, you are Mahayogin, you are master of mystics. And you are the one, na anyam, apart from you, no one else can eradicate this abhayam. You are the one who instills fearlessness in the heart of the devotee. So if we really want to eradicate all fear and material anxieties, be fixed up in seeing the form of the Lord. Now we should see the Lord in a different light. After hearing and gaining this transcendental knowledge, our eyes should change. As the last point in the paragraph states, our eyes, our vision should change. And what is this vision? Brahma Samhita tells us, and Prabhupada concludes in this purport, that the vision of a devotee is to see Krishna's beautiful form, not with normal eyes, but with eyes which are anointed with the sound of love. You know, this, in this verse, this particular Brahma Samhita verse, sometimes we quote this verse so often, we forget the actual translation of the verse. I worship Lord Govinda, the Praneeva Lord, who is Shyam Sundara, who is Krishna himself, with his inconceivable, innumerable attributes. This is what Brahmaji is praying. Whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with eyes of devotion, anointed with the sound of love. This is the wonderful translation that is given to this verse. And in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj states a very important thing. Both devotees and non-devotees see Krishna. Just think, Kamsa saw Krishna. In fact, he saw Krishna in 200 form. Isn't it? Kamsa was remembering Krishna all the time. He would take one, first step, second step, third step, fourth step, fifth step, sixth step, seventh step, eighth step. Number eight son of Devi, Krishna. This was how Kamsa was so conscious of Krishna. But for what purpose? To kill him. Because he was envious of him. Because he wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. So he was always in a state of fear. But the gopis, they were not in state of fear. Their anxiety was highly pleasurable to them. Why? Because they could not get enough of Krishna. That was the other disease. That disease is good disease. When we are hankering for the Lord. When we come for a program, we say, Prabhu, too short. I wish it was longer. When we come for programs, we say, oh, this is so nice. Tomorrow morning I'm ready to come for another program. That's why the real test of Krishna consciousness is not on the day of a festival, it's the day after. It's always the day after. Krishna says, Mashami, we're jumping up and down, Haribol, Haribol, welcome Krishna, happy birthday Krishna. Next morning, first Mangalarti, Haribol. We can't wake up already, we cannot. The real test is the next day, the day after the high. And the way to do it is actually to remember this point that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said. Both non-devotees and devotees see Krishna. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, but only devotees cherish Krishna as a priceless jewel in their heart. This is the exact quotation. Only devotees cherish Krishna. Arjuna cherished Krishna as a dearmost friend. The gopis cherished Krishna as their Lord of Lords in their hearts. Yashoda Mata cherished Krishna as the one and only object of love in her heart. Like this, all the devotees cherish him. So if we really want to see Krishna, now Krishna is before us. If we really want to see him now we should see him with cherish. And how to see him with cherish? Bhagavatam tells us that the way to see him is Shravata Shraddaya Nityam Granadascha Swa Chaitikam Kavena Na Adhidhidhena Bhagavan Vishadeva Prithi. This is 285 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important verse by Srimad Goswami. He says, those who are Shravata, always hearing, Shraddaya with full faith, Nityam always. The Prabhupada specifically writes there, those who are always hearing and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam. And Granatascha Swachesitam, who are doing this out of their own endeavor, very seriously with endeavor. Endeavor means we must work hard, devotional service means to work hard. When you love someone, how much you do, so many things for that person. Sometimes we ask someone, you are in love with this person, why you are running here and there, getting this and that for her or him? And they say, you don't know, I'm in love with her, I'm in love with him. And we think, oh, love must be blind. But the truth is, when you really invest your love and cherish an object, you are prepared to sacrifice anything for that person. That is what we must do for Krishna. We must stretch ourselves. Every year, are we going to be at the same point? Now, Guruji is doing a wonderful course. A wonderful course. I've not had the good fortune of sitting through the whole course. But I'm hearing wonderful feedback. The real challenge now, Prabhus and Mataji, is this. After the course, are we going to imbibe and ingest and change our lives based on what Prabhuji has given us? If we do that, then really we are going to see Krishna with cherished eyes anointed with love. If we don't, we are going to continue to remain in the fearful condition of the material existence. Krishna is pro-choice. He always gives it to you. Because you cannot force anyone to do bhakti. Krishna will never come put a gun to your head and say, no, say you love me. Of course you say you love me. With a gun to your head, anyone will say I love you very much. But take the gun away. Are you going to say that? Are you going to cherish Krishna in your heart? This is the meaning of premanjana. So at the end of the day, this verse tells us three things. One, the form of the Lord is the most cherishable object of love. Second, it is not just seeing or sightseeing of the form that will really change our heart. Because Bhagavatam tells us, those who seriously endeavor, kalena, na asitivena, in no time at all, very quickly, Bhagavan Vishnu, the Lord will manifest in your heart. How does he do that? Pravishta karna randrena. The Lord enters into the ears of the devotee through the sound of Shruti. That's Bhagavatam. And when he does that, what does he do? Swanam bhava sarovaram. He sits down on the loving relationship of the devotee which is established as a lotus flower in his heart. We always say, where is this lotus flower in our heart? Which ventricle? Which part of it is it? This lotus flower is your loving relationship with Krishna. to the extent of your loving relationship with Krishna, to that extent Krishna is enshrined in your heart. To that extent, he will be inclined to always protect you. So what does this come down to? It comes down again to qualities that a devotee must encourage to inside. If you want to eradicate fear, become encouraged. If you want to become encouraged, hanker for the form of the Lord. And how to see the form of the Lord? Hear about Krishna. And once you hear about Krishna, cherish Krishna. Never take your devotional service for granted. When you cherish something, automatically the purport of cherishing is that you never take it for granted. The moment you take devotional service for granted, fear will creep into your heart. That is your litmus test. Your litmus test of where you stand in devotional service. I end by remembering Rupa Goswami's very, very wonderful verse. We must always be prepared that there are consequences to seek the Lord's beautiful form. Rupa Goswami tells us this.
Smera Mauki Praya Parichitam Sachi Vishina Nishin Vamsi Nyasa Alara Kilashaya Ujvala Chandra Kena Govindam Akyam Hari Tanumitaha
Rupa Goswami is saying, my dear friend, there is a boy. He is standing on the shores of the Keshika, by the shores of the river Yamuna. He has a wonderful tree-bended form, and he has a wonderful cyclone glance. He doesn't look at you straight, but he always has a sideways glance. He is tree-bended, he has a beautiful sideways glance. His lips are wonderful, and they blossom more because of the fruit which is touching his lips. And his beautiful lips and his wonderful fruit is like blossoming under the moonlight. Ujvalam Chandra Kena. This boy has a name, my dear friend, and his name is Govinda. And he is none other than the transcendental Lord. Then Rupa Goswami says that if you really want to not forget your family, your friends, your society, then please take my advice. Please don't worship this wonderful boy known as Govinda. Because if you worship this wonderful boy known as Govinda, who is tree-bended, who is smiling, who has blossomed lips with beautiful bloom to his lips, who is standing by the shores of Yamuna, by the Kesika in the moonlight, if you don't want to take his association, then you will not forget your friends, you will not forget your society, you will not forget family. But if you do take his association, if you do take his darshan, then you will lose all of this. So Rupa Goswami is actually the pioneer in the art of reverse psychology. Long before psychologists in the modern 20th century started reverse psychology, he started it in his prayers. Because this is one prayer that tells you, don't worship Krishna. Don't worship him. If you want to maintain your friendships, your material attachments, continue. But remember, if you do worship him with cherished love and desire to serve him, then Krishna's mercy will somehow or another, then you leave it to Krishna. That is his promise. Satya Vratam, that is his vow. He will protect our devotions. And he will make us never forget. This is the promise of the Lord. He elected that to Arjuna. He elected that to all devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he can do it for us today in Singapore, in Lakshminarayana Temple, before we have prasad. Jai Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Srila Gurudev ki. Jai Gurudev. We can take one question. One nice way of hands are going up. Disciple who? Nithai Prabhu is a devotee who has joined us. Prabhu, can you just raise your hand so we can all see you? Okay, there you are. Prabhuji came yesterday to join us for Narasimhadev Chaturdasi. My initial impression was, I was very inspired to see him. Prabhu is a disciple of His Holiness Gopakrishna Maharaj, and he's here now for a few days, and whatever little association I had with him was very inspiring. Before he asked the question of what's the realization, can we have one loud Hari Bol for Prabhuji?
Hari Bol!
Why are the Gaudiya Vaishnava in the key? Yes, Prabhuji. There is a mic you can.
Thank you, Prabhupada. My question is, what is the criteria number one for devotee to have a great stronger Krishna? We see like a few other Krishna consciousness, what are the guidance? And sometimes when they rely on the people, all they have been able to come to the Lord, all they are associated with the Lord, and they have heard that Krishna is a particular thing.
Yes. Yes.
So what's the idea of us to be able to such a conception? Let's say Krishna is going to fulfill or Krishna is not going to fulfill. Let's have a faith in the most strong Krishna.
Very nice question, Prabhuji. Thank you. Prabhuji's question is very relevant to all of us. Because very often we become discouraged when we have a desire in our heart and Krishna doesn't fulfill it. In the beginning of our devotional service or at any stage of our devotional service, material desires are always bound to be in our hearts. And very often Bhagavad Gita tells us that all of us somehow or another have come to Krishna based on motives. But we are considered pious persons, whether out of distress, whether out of just inquisitive pursuit of knowledge, whether even for wealth, whatever reasons, we have come to Krishna. But very often, Prabhu, it is also our experience that for a while, Krishna may give us what we want. And then after a while, you found that, you know, your order supplies are being stopped. And, you know, production is not coming through. And all the goods and services we ordered previously, backlog is there. So what is happening to Krishna? Has he become complacent or what? So this point is very nicely answered in the pages of Bhagavatam in the 5th canto. And the verse is in the 19th chapter. The verse is 27. It is useful. We just hear Bhagavatam and it will be good. In this verse, you please read it when you have time. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. So very often Krishna does fulfill our desires. But he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him, the devotee, to demand more benedictions again. So once Krishna realized that you are going to do a repeat story and keep asking for material desires, he's going to stop the supply. But Bhagavatam tells us, however, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet. Even though such a person does not aspire for it. Sometimes we don't want Krishna's lotus feet. Of course, externally we all say, Prabhu, Prabhu, I want Krishna, I want Krishna. But in truth, no, I want something. I want a wife actually, you know. Krishna gives me a wife, I'll be encouraged in devotional service. No wife, Krishna, how to be encouraged in devotional service? Like that we are thinking. But Krishna doesn't care. He stops it for our good. And then he gives some taste for devotional service. Now that taste, Prabhuji, is the taste of his lotus feet. That's the special mercy of Krishna. Some devotees will embrace it. From practical experience, some devotees will get the taste and then they will realize Krishna's mercy is there. But then we also find many, many persons come to Krishna consciousness, don't get anything and they leave. Sometimes they go to the other end of the spectrum and they become completely demoralized and they say, Krishna, no, I'd rather be an atheist. But even when that happens, Krishna says that all is not lost. Because even a single moment of contact with devotional service will purify that devotee. The seed is sown. It may not fructify in this life immediately. It may not be seen. But in the next life or the life after, the devotee will be given the opportunity by Krishna again to come in touch with some form of devotional service. It will reignite what was already put in his heart, and then he will pick up from there. We all are very much in that position. Many of us did not come to Krishna from the day we were born. Somewhere along the way, I think only we know how much wild children we were. Huh? We must have all been wild. I'm sure we had photographs of us looking extremely undevotee-like. Isn't it? I'm sure. It's somewhere in your photograph albums, you know. But despite all that, one touch, someone, somewhere, revived the seed again. Now this seed that was there probably happened a life ago. When we got in touch with a devotee, liked it for a while, couldn't get something from Krishna and said, forget it. And we thought that's the end of it. But Krishna never lets a devotee or a living entity go. His main aim is to bring us back. That's why he's three bhakti. He's crooked. I don't catch you now, I've implanted a bomb in you. At the right time the bomb will explode and then you'll become my great devotee. So this is how Krishna is. So, as devotees, we should not become discouraged when we see a friend, a fellow devotee of ours losing faith. Initially, he may lose faith. We must take shelter of Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, render loving feelings with him, Prabhu, and maybe if he has questions and he has difficulty, direct him to our spiritual master or any exalted devotee. We cannot help him. But we should always maintain loving feelings with the devotees. Even if they leave us, there are still many devotees who don't come to the congregation for 5 years, but they are still in contact with us. And one day, we are confident, because of the loving feeling, they will walk through these doors again. And if they do, it is for their own benefit. And if they don't, Krishna is still protecting them. Then he will come. By having this notion, our own faith will become increased. That we know that there is always hope in Krishna consciousness. That there is no end to Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Thank you. One last one. Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So in today's morning Bhagavad class, it explains that the devotee should always regret about his past sinful activities.
Yes.
And this verse, it will explain that one should always feel encouraged and not lament. So how to understand it?
Ah, nice point. Yeah. This morning, we had a program at Sriram Prabhupada Prabhu's house, and there was a Bhagavatam verse from Ajamil's episode, 6 to 27, I think. And at that point of time, in that verse, Prabhupada writes in the purport that for you to advance to become a pure devotee, one must regret his past sinful activities and repent sincerely. So Prabhuji is saying, how are you to maintain being encouraged and at the same time regret and repent? They seem to be contradictory. It is true, at first glance it seems contradictory. But the truth is, when one sincerely repents, he should not be dragged down by the repentance. He should repent that I have committed mistakes in my past. But now, what am I to do about my future? Or what am I to do about the present? I should become encouraged in devotional service. How? Because the Vishnu Dutas have come. See, Ajamil repented, but he did not drag himself down. He did not cry for the next 20 years. You know, and Vishnu Dutas kept waiting, okay, enough of crying now, are you going to come back or are you not? He didn't do that. He cried for a while and then he said, now pick yourself up. How fortunate I was Vishnu Dutas came. How fortunate I am Krishna is here. Why should I waste time now? I have regretted, I have repented. The symptom of your repentance is in your encouraged emotional behavior. The more enthusiastic we become, the more genuinely repentant we are. The less repentant we are, the more morose we are in our emotional service. That is the link. Is that okay? Thank you. You have one question? We'll take one last one.
In this verse, Swatam Rupa, that is his own form, Prabhupada says in the translation, Krishna should display his real polar form and then show his polar form. So, why does he say it's the real form? So, in that real form, polar form is not real.
Now we are going into the question of semantics. But it's a question that needs to be answered. From whatever I can understand, said fully. Prabhupada clarifies this point very properly, because I'm sure if we just read the verse without Prabhupada, we'll go back thinking that that's the real form. So Prabhupada has actually done us the favor. He has made it very clear at that point that the original form of the Lord is his most beautiful form. His most beautiful form is his original form. They are not different. But his most beautiful form is not his four-handed form. So therefore, by parity of logic, it cannot be his real form. Or rather, his original form. Prabhupada has written the point way before our form to emphasize the point that there is a movement from the Virat group to the point of obtaining closer association with the Lord. In the Virat group form, as Mahasabhi Prabhu mentioned, and I mentioned in the lecture, that it is impossible to take association. But in the four-handed form of the Lord, the association begins. But it is in the mood of awe and reverence. So the distance may still be there. But when it comes finally to that original candle that has lit all other candles, then the mood becomes perfect. It becomes complete, and therefore, it is the most beautiful. Delicate. We should stop here now. Time is of the essence. Thank you very much for coming for the programs. Please continue to come. Please don't come for anything else. Come to see the form of the Lord and cherish this form. Don't forget to cherish. If we forget to cherish, we have come for sightseeing. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. We'll have 5 minutes of kirtan, and then we come to also the most important part of the program, and that is the sadhana. Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Krishna. Jai. 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 Jai